Paul Myers is the North Shore Market President of our friends at Metairie Bank. Paul, thanks for being with me today.
Hey, Ian, how are you?
Never better. How are you doing?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how I follow with an interesting tone the contest to go see Taylor Swift in the UK. I don't know that I can live up to that.
Well, while we're talking about Elder Abuse Awareness Day, we could play some Taylor Swift music underneath. I don't know. That doesn't seem quite, in the spirit of the conversation, but, it may give us a little lift.
Do what we can.
Do what we can, man. Hey, listen, there are lots of types of elder abuse, but today we're focusing on financial abuse specifically. How does this impact our older Americans, Paul, and why is it such a prevalent issue here?
Well, it's really, when you start to peel back and look at the statistics, it's really terrifying. And as you know, as the boomers continue to age, we're looking at roughly 4.1 million per year from 2024 to 2027 turning 65. So this growing number of folks that are enjoying their latter years is only going to grow. And one of the things that's really terrifying is that only one in 44 cases of elder abuse is reported to the National Adult Protective Services Association. So whereas the U.S. Senate on Special Committee estimates that it's roughly about $3 billion in loss per year from elder abuse, because only one in 44 cases is reported, the number could be as high as $35 billion, and that's with a B. I mean, that is a huge, huge, terrifying number. And another statistic that's even more terrifying is that almost 70% of the abuse comes from family or close friends and acquaintances.
You said 70% of the abuse comes from family or close acquaintances.
It's right at 69, so just south of 70%.
So not, some guy on the phone from some prince from Nigeria or something like that. These are, almost statistically speaking, somebody.
By the way, I know you were really.
No, I didn't. I had to kind of just cut my losses there and move on. I think, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. The point is you can't get fooled again. So I just had to
up on but it. In all seriousness, it is very, very, well, for lack of a better word, sad that number is so high. And there are a lot of things that folks can do, but they really have to safeguard themselves with their passwords, with making sure that they don't fall victim to, any little thing whereby they're going to give up their own information, whether it be a PIN number for a debit card, whether it be, most of our seniors are much more tech savvy than, say, in generations past, especially the adoption of online banking and mobile banking through the pandemic. Yeah. There was a big learning curve that went on, and a lot of maybe those that were holding out, they adopted that method of banking. And you just have to make sure that you're protecting all of those passwords and usernames and not writing them down. But or if you are writing them down, please keep them in a very, very safe, locked place where not everyone can access it.
So as a community banker, what kind of role do you play, your colleagues play, in preventing this type of abuse before it begins?
Well, I'll get on my soapbox, and we're always, we stand by the fact that we're the bank of personal service. We operate on relationship banking, both on the commercial and the consumer side. We're kind of the financial first responders, and we find ourselves in an interesting situation to try and really help shield some of our elderly customers to the best way that we can. I mean, obviously we can't take liability to try and be that protective arm, but we can certainly do things. And knowing your bank and knowing your banker, we're not going to call and ask you for your PIN code. We're not going to call and ask for your username and password. We're not going to send you an email and say, please log in here with your username and password without some prior notification. And also, we would always recommend that should you receive anything like that, that you please call your bank, your banker, and someone that you know who you trust, or even go into a branch to confirm that, that this information is legitimate.
And what are some, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, like a red flag or a warning sign that, that family members, caregivers can be looking out for that, that may indicate that an elderly person in their life is being financially exploited?
Well, you know, there are things that, that you can, there's so many different ways and so many different things that, that happen. But when I have seen some elderly family members that and they're wanting some help, they will bring in powers of attorney on their accounts. Let's make sure that you have things set up and you if you are the power of attorney, or if you want full transparency, and let's say you have multiple siblings, make sure that you make sure that you are. Have multiple people in those accounts. I'm trying to put the right words together here. Sorry.
Sure. No, sorry.
Make sure that you have multiple people. But some of the things, and we have people, and we do extensive training, especially at the retail level on our teller line and our consumer and our platform bankers, whereby they're looking, you know, or is the person coming in asking for a large cash withdrawal that normally doesn't fall in to their normal procedures. And then, you know, you just ask the question, you know, especially if they're asking for cash, do they have to have the cash? And certain things that we have questions and things that we tip off, and quite honestly, I don't want to go into great detail on that simply because I want to make sure that we can know what we're looking for, and the bad actors out there don't get any ideas.
Right.
But we do extensive training regularly at that level to ensure that we know what questions to ask and we know what to look for, to ensure that people aren't being taken advantage of. You know, I would also, there have been times where, the elderly parent really just doesn't understand. And as a matter of convenience, they don't understand what's going on, and as a matter of convenience, the children try and do what they can to help, but then that ends up with some infighting there. So I would say that this isn't really answering your question, but I would also say just to make sure that everyone's on the same page to ensure whether it's you sign up if you're an elderly if you have an elderly parent and you want to be notified of transactions that happened in their account. Just make sure that everyone's on the same page and they understand what's going on. And you know, because, look, let's be honest, these are our parents and they raised us. They took care of us. They protected us. And you don't want them to lose that feeling of independence or that they can't trust themselves.
Right.
But you do want to do as they do age and it now becomes part of our job, whereas they protected us, now we – have a responsibility to make sure that we're protecting them, that we do that in a respectful manner, because I've seen it go the wrong way a few times.
Oh dear. So I think it'll help some members of our audience if we put these very specific names already exist for some of these pretty specific scams. So let's just start using this language, a pigeon drop scam. Can you tell us a little bit about the pigeon drop scam and how that's supposed to work?
Absolutely. So a pigeon drop is something where they'll call and say that you found money or you won money or something of those lines. But in order to get it, you have to send them some money, or you have to do something whereby you have the potential to go onto a platform and provide – sensitive data in order to win that. That is kind of a pigeon drop.
Yeah.
And you've heard about that, where you have to log into a certain website to be able to win the money, or send them $50 in order to get $1,500 or something along those lines. And that's a pigeon drop.
Okay, great. So that's your classic Nigerian prince, right? Hey, I found $100 million and I just need you to send me $1,000 and then I'll send you $100 million.
That's correct. Right. The deposed prince of Nigeria who's in a bad way, yes. That is
poor guy.
That would be the engine drop. Yeah.
Yeah, you feel bad for him. Okay, the fake accident scam, what is that?
So this is one where it's you have a family member that maybe was in an accident or even I've heard where they've been detained by law enforcement at some level, and they need you to send money for medical expenses, send money for bail, and they give you information and you simply send them money. Maybe it doesn't always allude to accessing to your personal accounts, but they'll swindle you out of several hundred dollars, upwards of even thousands of dollars, depending upon the level of complexity that they go to in the call.
And this one freaks me out a little bit in particular, too, because now with the rise of artificial intelligence generated voice, you know, like it's not that difficult, and it's only going to get easier for somebody to take a recording of your voice. They don't need a big sample of it, but they can create a recording that says, you know, hey mom, it's Ian, I just, you know, got in a car accident and they need me to give them $500 right away, you know, send me at Venmo or whatever like that. And it sounds like me, it sounds like Ian is actually making that call to his mother. So you got to really be careful about
you're,
that
you're exactly
keep a close
right.
eye
you're,
on those scary
and as that continues to, you know, AI and the large language models, goodness, I can't talk today, continue to evolve at such a rapid pace. And we're all trying to keep up with how generative AI is going to impact what we do on a daily basis. And the thing that I would always recommend is that always follow. If you want to write down the information that somebody's giving you, great. Do not act upon it. Turn around, just like when I say Metairie Bank is not going to call and ask you or email and ask you for certain sensitive information. You hang up the phone. You don't click on any links with embedded in emails that you don't quite understand. You call your bank. You call your banker. You call your family member, who maybe is the subject of the fake accident ploy or the incarceration. You call that family member directly.
Yeah.
And you find out just exactly what's going on in the number that you have.
Yeah. If somebody calls you,
it doesn't matter if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, those are the, they'll answer the phone and you make sure that you're not being taken advantage of.
Okay. Let's do the last one on my little list here, Paul, the charity scam. This seems pretty straightforward, but probably also the easiest to miss, I would guess.
Well, and that's true. And we've all heard this through over the years of whether it's door-to-door solicitation, but now it's gotten much more sophisticated with cold calling, robocall, not necessarily robocalls, but then also email where you can click on a link and you can donate because all of us have a, I believe we have a giving heart and we want people to be better and we want to support humankind the best we can. With whatever our given focus is in that, and we do want to support that, but you have to be very careful today. And I would say stick with the reputable nonprofits that you know. If you support things nationally, great. We have in Southeast Louisiana, we have so many wonderful nonprofits. You know, food banks and. Children's museums and just so many different outreach programs that are available that we know are trustworthy. And I think that would be, as being a local banker and as a local bank, we're a small business. So we're constantly trying to give back to the community and support the community. And we certainly encourage, our local, folks to do that. So, that's also another easier way to ensure that you're supporting true and legitimate nonprofits and charities is that, you know, whether it's, you know, through your church or whatever organization that you may know, as opposed to just the unfortunate thing of bad actors pulling on the heartstrings of such giving people that we are down.
All right, Paul, anything else you want our audience to know before we let you go?
Well, I was listening for 90s country, and through the break, that was definitely not country.
No.
And then coming back, Taylor was not country. Mm-hmm. So I'm still waiting on that 90s country.
Okay. After this next break that we're going to go into coming up here, the song coming out of that break is the song that received the fourth most submissions yesterday. So we'll be playing that for. I won't tell you what it is now. It's called a tease, kids. That's a tip. Write it down. But coming out of this next break, we'll hear our first exciting, joyful, silly country song of the day. So you can look forward to that.
Well, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time. And we at Metairie Bank appreciate all the support that we get from WWL.
Paul Myers is the North Shore Market President at Metairie Bank. Thank you for your time, your work, and your way. We'll talk again, Paul. Have a great week.
You do the same. Thank you.